Massive developments.
Thank you.
Now, it's 20 to 9. One of Northern Ireland's leading providers of accommodation for the homeless says there's been a 40% rise in demand for places at its hostels in the past year. And DePaul Ireland, which caters mainly for homeless people who suffer from alcoholism, also says it's finding it increasingly difficult to find housing to enable people to move on from its hostels and back into the community. Louise Cullen has been hearing from Amanda, who suffered from alcoholism and lost her home.
I was happily married and with a daughter, and we were travelling the world with my husband's job, and I worked for a member of the Saudi royal family. Everything was the perfect life until I started to drink. I didn't lose the job because of my alcoholism. I gave the job up because of my daughter. I wanted to spend more time with my daughter. But in hindsight, I then got very bored, and I think that was partly due to me starting to drink. Boredom.
And that changed the path of your life?
That changed the path of my life completely. It graduated from a couple of glasses of wine to more glasses of wine, to hiding the wine, proceeded then to vodka and then on to brandy. It just created havoc.
So the drinking then really got out of control?
Totally out of control. I had alcoholic seizures. I wasn't able to look after my daughter. I wasn't a fit mother and I wasn't a fit wife. And you just carry on and you think everything's normal and you think everybody's perceiving you as normal and okay, when in fact they're not. And when it's picked up at school that you smell of alcohol, you know, the headmistress has to have a word with you. The mothers at school are nervous about their children coming to your house. It all starts to unravel, and it unravels very, very quickly.
So what was the breaking point for you?
The breaking point for me was when I came back to visit my mother. We were living in Australia, in Sydney at the time, and I phoned up to see who was meeting me at the airport, and he said, no one. My now ex-husband said to me, you're not welcome back. I can't take any more. I don't want you back. That was my breaking point. We have a home in England, but it's rented. My mother was in a fold. I had no one to stay with. I have no brothers or sisters. There was nowhere for me to go. So I ended up in the Simon community.
Homeless?
Homeless. Homeless.
Were you ever actually on the streets?
No. There for the grace of God go I. But it's literally there for the grace of God go I. And when I was in the Welcome Centre, if it wasn't for the fact that they had what they call the wee house, which is for women, and they had a room, a bed in there for me, I don't know where I would be. I really hit rock bottom. And when I arrived in Stella Maris, I was a shaking wreck in a wheelchair. I couldn't walk. And the staff have been amazing. I'm now walking. They're weaning, helping me wean myself off the alcohol without going in for a medical detox, which I'm doing very successfully. I've started going out and socialising, feeling more confident and getting some self-esteem back and feeling proud of myself instead of being ashamed and just wanting to sit as a recluse with my head in a bottle. And then it's moving forward and moving on from Stella Maris and having my own apartment.
And that's the sort of difficulty really at the minute, that there aren't that many places to go from here.
There aren't. I mean, for me, because of my back, it would have to be ground floor or there would have to be a lift. So that's obviously a problem because that limits things. But they give you immense help here. There's housing executive here as well, and the support staff are amazing, and there's loads of help. You know, the amazing thing for me is that the residents in here, we all come from such different backgrounds, all walks of life, and it can hit anybody. Homelessness can hit anybody. Addiction can hit anybody. What upsets me is the ignorance out there of people who judge when they shouldn't judge. I wouldn't change what's happened. It's made me a stronger person. It's made me, I think, a better person. It's made me a kinder person. And it's made me less judgmental. It's changed me, and it's changed me for the better.
Louise Cullen there speaking to Amanda. Well, listening to that is Kerry Anthony, the chief executive of DePaul Ireland, who operates a number of homeless hostels here. Morning to you, Kerry. Kerry, Amanda there giving us the very human side of what's going wrong. But your organisation helps pick up the pieces, get people back on their feet, get them back into the community. And that job's becoming more and more difficult. You had a 25% increase, I think it was, in the number of decrease, rather, in You explain. It became much harder last year to find people homes once they'd been through your services. Yeah.
We had a 40% increase in people using our services, but that was largely due to bringing new services into play. And those new services have been around prevention. So we've a really strong commitment to homelessness prevention, as does a homelessness strategy. So working to keep people in their homes before tenancy breaks down. However, of course, that isn't a reality for everybody. We have had a number of people presenting to our projects, but we've had 25% decrease in the number of people we've been able to move out of our hostel accommodation back into the community and into long-term accommodation, which is our aim. I guess it's very difficult, you know, that in terms of social housing stock, we know that the social housing waiting list is very high.
40,000?
Absolutely, 40,000. And we know up to close to 10,000 people have been accepted as full duty applicant in the 2012-2013 statistics from the Housing Executive. So there's a big demand in relation to homelessness. We've also been thinking about mixed tenures and mixed housing options for people. So looking at the private rented sector again, we know the private rented sector is very, very highly in demand, and also in terms of the affordability for that, in terms of people on benefits. And we would have real concerns about some of the debate you've been having this morning in relation to cuts in the sector and how welfare reform might impact
on that. I want to come on to that, but on the private sector element of it, rents are going through the roof because younger people are choosing not to buy. Does that then preclude people with problems like alcoholism even getting rented accommodation, private rented?
Yes, it's very difficult. I mean, certainly there's a stigma attached to people who have been homeless or labelled as homeless or labelled as alcoholics as well. So quite often landlords won't want to take people who are on housing benefit in any case. And then you have the competition within the market as well, where a lot of other people who wouldn't have those issues are wanting and can pay for the accommodation that's on offer.
Well, I know if you had a wish list, you're going to say we need more social housing, we need more resources to help support people, have counselling, whatever might be required. But you've just heard the debates we've had this morning, astronomical cutbacks that we're facing. But what's interesting about your organisation is you're cross-border. You've been through all this before. How did it work out in the Republic?
It's been incredibly difficult in the Republic of Ireland. So certainly in Northern Ireland, what we've seen is ring-fence funding since 2009, which has been great, to be honest. In the Republic of Ireland, we've seen up to 25% over a four-year period from one of our statutory funders. Now, that's set against a backdrop of year-on-year national budgets, which have really, really cut back and impacted people on a personal level, whilst the cost of living hasn't decreased in the Republic of Ireland. So how that really has impacted in terms of homelessness is we've found it incredibly difficult to get access to any form of private rented accommodation. The market in Dublin is completely saturated now. We have an increase in rough sleepings. And interestingly, what we're seeing now in the Republic of Ireland is a significant increase in the number of families presenting as homeless, and that's really been a new feature of what's gone on over the last couple of years. That is not people with complex needs, it's not people like Amanda's story, it's people who are literally in housing crisis, and we would be really concerned that we would see a similar feature in Northern Ireland, certainly already in terms of homelessness. 33% of the people on the homelessness waiting list would be families, so an increase in that would be a real concern.
So history is repeating itself,
well,
as far as you're concerned.
We would be really concerned about that. We'd certainly, as you say, be calling on the supporting people budget, which is the funding stream that supports our work and many other special needs groups, if you like. As I said, it's been ring-fenced since 2009, and we would have real concerns about cuts.
So what do you think then, when you hear the Finance Minister and the Education Minister, no meeting of minds, headlines today, we're on the brink, storm and about to collapse, you see day-to-day lives being destroyed through alcohol. Many people will say there are other conditions that might be a greater priority for housing, but you can see that. And of course, many people turn to drink that wouldn't have done prior to a recession. What goes through your mind listening to those debates?
I think the issue for me really is when you hear the human interest story like Amanda's story and you hear the reality of what life's like, we just really want to make sure that the most vulnerable within our society are protected. And quite often what happens in a recession and what we've seen in the Republic of Ireland is the most vulnerable who end up being the most badly affected by this. And so we would be urging the Minister, certainly the Finance Minister and the Minister within the Department of Social Development, to really consider that the vulnerability of this group and make sure that we're able to continue to provide support for them.
Thank you very much indeed, Kerry Anthony there of DePaul Ireland. Thank you.
At 10 to 9, one last look at the traffic and travel situation this morning with Elaine.